I feel very called to become a member of the Catholic Church.
Love the Catholic Church. It's just the best place to be.
From the studios of EWTN, this is Open Line. In North America, call toll-free 1-833-288-EWTN. That's 1-833-288-3986. Outside North America, call 1-205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000 or send an email to openline@ewtn.com.
And we welcome you to Open Line Tuesday here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. We have a different host for you each and every day of the week. Tuesday is no exception. Tuesday we bring on America's favorite itinerant preacher, Father Wade Menezes. How are you, Padre?
I'm doing great, Tom. Great to be with you today.
Great to see you. It doesn't happen that often. Usually you are out on the road. You're either at the mothership back in Kentucky or you're somewhere here in these 50 wonderful states. But today you're here in studio with us.
That's right, helping out the Franciscan Friars this week here with the morning daily mass and with 11 a.m. confessions. And so it's been good to be here this week back on campus.
You have a servant's heart.
Well, I appreciate that.
I admire that. I want to give you the phone numbers, and then we'll get to your opening thoughts here. Here is our phone number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. If you're listening outside of North America, you'll want to dial the U.S. country code and then 205-271-2985. You can also text the letters EWTN to 55000. Wait for our response, and then you can just text us your first name and your brief question. And like they say, like the lawyers say, message and data rates may apply. You can also shoot us an email if you prefer that, openline@ewtn.com. So it is a big day in the history of the church, in the life of the church, the feast day of Our Lady of Mount Carmel.
That's right. And a great shout out to all Carmelites throughout the globe. And I mean that literally. All those who are consecrated religious men and women in the Carmelite order, as well as the tertiaries, the so-called third order members, often lay people, single and married, living in the midst of the modern world, who fulfill their set of requirements as tertiaries, third order members with the Carmelite order or whatever order they happen to belong to. But today we honor in a special way all the Carmelites, and so I give a shout out to them. And this feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Tom, was instituted in the 14th century by the Carmelite order and approved by the church. It commemorates the anniversary of the day in 1251 in England when the Blessed Virgin Mary gave the brown scapular to Saint Simon Stock, a fully approved apparition of Our Lady. The Church's Directory on Popular Piety and the Liturgy, number 205, states, quote, "The scapular is an external sign of the filial relationship established between the Blessed Virgin Mary, Mother and Queen of Mount Carmel, and the faithful who entrust themselves totally to her protection, who have recourse to her maternal intercession, and who are mindful of the primacy of the spiritual life and of the need for prayer." And as worded, Tom, in the first Carmelite preface for today's feast, the Blessed Virgin Mary, quote, "watches unceasingly with a mother's loving care over the brethren of her Son, and lights us along our pilgrim way to the Mount of God's glory, our beacon of comfort and the embodiment of all our hopes as members of the church." All of this reminds me really of a very, very well-known quote from St. Therese of Lisieux, a Carmelite nun and one of the doctors of the church. She says simply, quote, "abandoning the mother is but one step away from abandoning the son," end quote. Abandoning the mother is but one step away from abandoning the son. And our Blessed Mother has one goal, to lead us to her son, who then leads us to the Father in the Holy Spirit. And from the Liturgy of the Hours we read today, quote, "Sacred Scripture celebrated the beauty of Mount Carmel, where the prophet Elijah defended the purity of Israel's faith in the living God. And in the 12th century, hermits withdrew to that same mountain and later founded the religious order devoted to the contemplative prayer life under the patronage of the Blessed Virgin Mary, the Holy Mother of God." And so we give a shout out to Mount Carmel itself.
Absolutely. I remember a couple of years ago when Adrienne and I went to the Holy Land, when the plane touched down, we were pretty severely sleep deprived. But, you know, the tour guide said, nope, we're going to go do this. We're going to go do this. And the first thing we know, we're at Mount Carmel. We're there. And I just remember this is the most fantastic thing. And beautiful. Of course, she and I have both been wearing the brown scapular for, golly, many, many years now.
Yeah, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. Yeah, I'd like our callers today to give a witness if they're enrolled in the brown scapular, maybe a special favor received, maybe an experience that they had through our Blessed Mother's intercession under that specific title of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. So call us with your Our Lady of Mount Carmel stories or your brown scapular stories. And I'd like to talk a little bit about the scapular
Sure.
here. It's an outer garment consisting of two strips of cloth joined across the shoulders worn by members of certain religious orders. Originating as the working frock of the Benedictines, say, for the cook or the sacristan when working with candles and wax, etc. It was adopted by other religious communities and is now considered a distinctive part of the monastic habit. The scapular symbolizes the yoke of Christ, huh? A scapular is worn under one's secular clothes or under one's religious habit or over the religious habit, depending on the religious order. In abbreviated form, by tertiaries is it worn under the secular clothes, associated with the religious orders they belong to as third order members. Tertiary scapulars vary in size and shape, and their color corresponds to that of the monastic family that they belong to. As a further development, the Church has approved some 18 blessed scapulars as sacramentals, as two small pieces of cloth joined by strings and worn around the neck and under the clothes. Best known and probably the most popular of the 18 are the following five scapulars. Number one, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, the so-called brown scapular. Number two, the Passion of Christ, the red scapular. Number three, the Seven Dolors or the Seven Sorrows of Mary scapular, which is black. The Immaculate Conception scapular of Our Blessed Mother, which is blue. And the Holy Trinity scapular, which is white. Mm. The word scapular comes from the Latin scapulare, that's the infinitive of the Latin, or the scapularium, the as a noun, meaning shoulder cloak, from the Latin scapula itself, which simply means shoulder, huh?
Yeah.
And the shoulder bone. Scapulars are considered sacramentals. Now, I'm going to give a spoiler alert, if I can use that phrase,
okay.
That next week we're going to be talking for our springboard topic about sacramentals and how they differ from the seven sacraments. But I want to say this much right now, and we'll close with this. The use of sacramentals, whether in objects such as the use of holy water or religious medals of a patron saint, maybe your baptismal patron saint or your confirmation name patron saint, or in an object like a scapular, or sacramentals in actions such as blessings or the practice of indulgences or pilgrimages. So we have sacramentals in objects and in actions. Just a little bit about sacramentals. They are objects or actions that the Church uses after the manner of the seven sacraments in order to achieve through the merits of the faithful certain effects, that's with an E, not an A, mainly of a spiritual nature to help one grow in the spiritual life. Sacramentals differ from the seven sacraments in not having been instituted by Christ to produce their effect in virtue of the ritual performed, like the seven sacraments do. Mm-hmm. Huh? Their efficacy depends not on the rite itself, like with the seven sacraments and their administration, but rather on the influence of prayerful petition, that of the person who uses them, and of the Church in approving their practice. The variety of sacramentals spans the whole range of times and places and words and actions and objects and gestures of the history of the Church, really, that on the Church's own authority as the Bride of Christ draw not only on the personal dispositions of the individuals, but on the merits and prayers of the whole mystical body of Christ. So I want to say this before we break. Sacramentals, we know, are different from the seven sacraments.
Mm-hmm.
They can be in objects or in actions, but they are not a free, get-out-of-jail free card.
Right.
We don't want to be New Agey here or even occultic in what we think of the medal of the saint we wear or the scapular that we wear or the holy water we use. No, no. We are Catholic Christians, and the use of sacramentals are tied to the seven sacraments, and that they help propel us, as I said in this morning's televised homily, they help propel us to receive the graces to their optimum from the seven sacraments.
Okay.
That's a great thing.
Here's something I hear people ask as we're going to break here. Can someone wear a scapular medal rather than the actual cloth scapular?
Yes, if there is a serious reason to do so. For example, like an aversion, a bodily aversion or an allergic reaction, if
you
will,
okay,
to 100% wool. That said, the preference is 100% wool for the scapular, which we can dovetail some of those facts about the brown scapular in with some witness calls that we might receive.
Looking forward to that. And thank you so much. Here's our phone number, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Glad to take your calls on, golly, all kinds of things here. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, we could talk about St. Simon's Dog. We could talk about the brown scapular. But, of course, our general topic for Open Line Tuesday is faith, fellowship, and family, or any order that you want, faith, family, and fellowship. Love to hear from you today at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Outside North America, you'll want to dial 205-271-2985. It is Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes right here on EWTN Radio. Do stay with us. Say what makes things go around here, and that is the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. We bring it to you each and every day from Our Lady of the Angels Chapel at 8 a.m. Eastern, right here on EWTN Radio and Television. Are you celebrating tomorrow, Padre?
I'm not. Not tomorrow. I've been on the last 4 days, but I will be on as celebrant on Thursday and Friday, helping out once again. And the homilist on Thursday and Friday will be my good friend, Father Chris Alar, M.I.C., from the Marians of the Immaculate Conception out of Stockbridge, Massachusetts. So
be sure
to tune in. Father Mark has the Mass tomorrow and is also homilist on Wednesday.
All right. Very good. So do tune in tomorrow morning, 8 a.m. Eastern, right here on EWTN Radio and Television. And if you're ready now, let's go to the phones at 833-288-EWTN. Let's begin with Stephen in Amarillo, Texas, listening on Guadalupe Radio, and he is a first-time caller. Hey, Stephen, what's on your mind today?
How are y'all? And thank y'all for taking my call. Hello, Father Wade. First of all, I want to say it was a great homily you gave during daily Mass this morning.
Well, thank you, Stephen. We appreciate you listening to the Mass and watching it, and also for your call in today to Open Line Tuesday.
I had a question. I've been enrolled in the brown scapular for about a year and a half now. And my question is, wearing it devoutly, you know, once in a while, being human, me, I'm a sinner. If I do slip, and maybe if the thought or an action, am I required to remove the brown scapular and then maybe go to confession to be able to wear the brown scapular again?
Well, you don't have to take off the brown scapular when you go to confession. I think once you're enrolled in the brown scapular, the devil would love nothing more than for you to take it off.
Yeah.
I think once you're enrolled, you want to keep it on. Now, common sense, right? We're not to get scrupulous in these things. So, for example, bathing, showering, you want to be able to take it off at appropriate times. Also, over a period of time when just because of natural wear and tear, body oils, sweat, etc., over time, that scapular is going to have to be changed out, right? So you want to properly dispose of it. There's different ways to do that. It can be buried. It could be burned. It could be placed in the garbage. But if you place it in the garbage, like with any religious article, you want to at least wrap it in a simple paper. The church teaches very clearly that with things like an old statue that's maybe busted, that's beyond repair, an old rosary, you can either bury them, burn them, or place them in waste. But if you place them in waste, you are to appropriately and simply wrap them, say, in a simple white paper. Why? So that if anybody comes across them, they find the article, they say, wow, somebody at least took the time to wrap it first before placing it to dispose of it. So those are the three guides. But no, you do not need to take off the scapular to confess the sin, huh? And you surely don't want to get in a habit of an habitual sin of taking off the scapular. You want to overcome that habitual sin, right? It's too easy to take off the scapular, and it also can make one very, very scrupulous. Once enrolled, you want to wear the brown scapular, except at those appropriate times when it's necessary to take it off. And then other than that, you want to work on the spiritual life. The scapular is to help advance us in the spiritual life. It's not to make us scrupulous. And this goes for any sacramental we wear, even a saint's medal.
Yeah, okay. You know? Hey, Stephen, thank you so much for your call. That opens up a line for you now, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday here on EWTN. Let's go to Lee now in Aberdeen, South Dakota, listening on the great Real Presence Radio. Hello, Lee. What's on your mind today?
Good afternoon. God bless you both.
Thank you.
My question has to do with the difference in the graces between the Holy Eucharist and confession. And what I basically want to ask, Father, is if we go to daily Mass and we're a daily communicant and we say the prayers during the Mass for the forgiveness of our sins.
Sure, beautiful.
And we haven't committed a mortal sin. And we believe that the Eucharist is the source and summit of our faith. Are our sins not forgiven then? And is that grace not greater than what the grace of what we would receive in confession? Or how would those two work together? I'm a lifelong Catholic, and I believe in both sacraments, and I use both sacraments. But I haven't gotten a real good answer from anybody about that.
Sure, sure. Well, a great question, Lee, and thank you so much for your call from Aberdeen, South Dakota today. The Eucharist is the most blessed sacrament, huh? For example, we make a holy hour, we go make a visit to the most blessed sacrament. Why is that? Where did that phrase come from? Why do we use it? Well, because it is the most blessed sacrament in this regard. Where the other six sacraments effect the grace they signify, the Eucharist is what it signifies. It is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? So when we talk about the Eucharist, we're receiving the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, which does remove venial sin. Okay, and even the penitential rite that you partake of with the congregation before going to Holy Communion later on in the Mass will take away venial sin. What's the whole purpose of a penitential rite at the beginning of Mass, regardless of the form that the celebrant chooses? There are several forms of the penitential rite, like the three trope Kyrie, or which has the stanzas incorporated into it, or the Confiteor, followed by the three trope Kyrie that doesn't have the stanzas incorporated into it. There's different options of the penitential rite at Mass. But why do we have the penitential rite at Mass? To wipe away all venial sin. And it's understood that if you're consciously aware of mortal sin in your soul, that you would be reconciled first to Holy Mother Church and her bridegroom, Jesus Christ, through the sacrament of confession, reconciliation, before receiving communion. Because you don't want to receive a sacrilegious communion. You want to receive precisely a holy communion. Mm-hmm. So for the wiping away and ridding, if you will, of mortal sin, sacramental confession remains the ordinary means that is done, huh? But to have venial sins forgiven, even communion does that. Remember, for confession, you're welcome to take venial sins to confession, but you don't have to. There's other ways that venial sins are forgiven. Again, like the penitential rite at Mass, by making a good act of contrition anytime during the day, even while you're at work or while you're driving. A fervent and faithful act of contrition wipes away venial sin. So there's several ways that venial sins are forgiven, but mortal sins, ordinarily speaking, require the sacrament of penance and reconciliation, what we call confession, okay? Which one's more powerful in regards to grace? Well, again, where the other six sacraments, you're receiving the grace that they signify. In the Eucharist, you're receiving the very author of the grace himself in his body, blood, soul, and divinity. So in that sense, obviously, the most blessed sacrament is the sacrament par excellence. So with confession, confession restores our union with Christ disrupted by personal sins, mortal and venial sins. But the Eucharist gives us the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus in our daily spiritual food to nourish our union with him. And remember, also, Lee, there are seven sacraments, but they're broken down into three categories. Three sacraments of initiation: baptism, Holy Eucharist, and confirmation. Two sacraments of union, which are at the service of communion to the populaces throughout the world. This is why they're also called the two sacraments of service, as well as the two sacraments of union. What are they? Holy orders and matrimony. And then the two sacraments of healing: confession, which we've already made reference to, and the anointing of the sick. So does that help you answer your question, Lee?
Well, it doesn't get to the heart of my question, Father, which is, if, like I said, if we are go to daily Mass and we receive the Eucharist each and every day and we believe wholeheartedly in, which I do, it's very dear and close to me, then if those graces are given and our venial sins are forgiven, my question then is,
why go to confession?
If we're not in, why go to confession? Right?
There you go. I thought you might be trying to get at that. Because it's a sacrament, it also affords its own graces. okay? Even if only venial sins are confessed. So show me a person who goes to confession faithfully once a monthly, say in honor of the first Friday devotion to the Sacred Heart or in honor of the first Saturday devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Chances are, because they go 12 times a year, chances are they won't have mortal sin to confess. It's precisely the practice of monthly confession that is per se keeping them away from mortal sin. Amen? Mm. That said, what are some of the graces that the individual will receive from still going to monthly confession and only confessing his venial sins? I'll tell you what those graces are. You got your seatbelt on, Lee? Conscience is purified. Grace is increased, both actual and sanctifying. The will is strengthened to continue to do better and stay away even more strongly away from mortal sin. Self-knowledge is increased to know your vices, to uproot them, to know your virtues, to advance them. More rapid growth in those virtues take place. Humility grows. Bad habits are assisted in being overcome. A spirit of mediocrity or lukewarmness is assisted in being overcome. And greater self-control is achieved in daily living. And remember, Pope Pius XII said this. He defended the practice of frequent confession, especially monthly, even if it's a question of only venial sins. By it, he says, quote, self-knowledge is increased, Christian humility grows, bad habits are corrected, spiritual neglect and lukewarmness are resisted, the conscience is purified, the will is strengthened, and a salutary self-control is attained, and grace is increased, both actual and sanctifying grace, by virtue of receiving the sacrament itself. And now St. Paul VI, who closed the Second Vatican Council, he also promulgated the new rite of confession after Vatican II's closing. He said, there's great value, quote unquote, in frequent and reverent recourse to this sacrament. Even when only venial sins are in question, he says, this practice is a constant effort to bring to perfection the grace of our baptism. So frequent confession, even if it's just venial sins, Lee, increases the grace of your baptism that you received as an infant or whenever you entered the church. Maybe you entered the church in your 20s, your 40s, whatever. The grace of baptism is increased because confession brings those graces to their perfection. So you're right. If you're not consciously aware of any mortal sin, praise God for that. But there's still many, many graces that you can receive from a frequent confession. This is why the church's time-honored tradition is to receive confession faithfully once a month, even if you're not aware of mortal sins. Her law, according to canon law, is to receive confession at least once a year in preparation for your Easter communion. And the Vatican has answered a question about that latter instruction, the law about receiving once a year confession. Does one still need to fulfill that even if they're still not aware of mortal sin? The Vatican answered yes. Even if you're not aware of mortal sin for your annual confession, still go to confession for your Easter communion. And now we see the reasons why, those nine chief benefits mm-hmm. that I just enunciated. And it also brings your baptismal grace to fruition. Does that answer your question now, Lee?
Well, but Father, then the Holy Eucharist, though, isn't that doing the same thing for you if you're asking the Lord for those graces during that time?
Yes, but you're making it sound like you want the Eucharist to cancel out confession, and that's a wrong view of the teaching of the Church.
Right. Okay, Lee, thank you so much for your call. We are so glad to have you on the air with us today. Father, I think you've struck a vein here. We've got five great calls, all wanting information or sharing things about the Brown Scapular. We're going to be talking with Richard in North Carolina, Lorraine in Billings, Montana, also Judy in Ohio, Deborah in Bismarck, North Dakota, and Michael on Long Island.
Great. That's fantastic. I can see those calls here in front of me, Tom. Wonderful. And I just want to, one more thing for Lee. Lee, I encourage you, if you're still listening, to go to the Universal Catechism of the Catholic Church, read the entire section on the Sacrament of Penance, and then on the Eucharist and how the two differ. Amen.
All right. Amen. Absolutely. And we invite your calls as well as we come back in a moment here at 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. It's Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes right here on EWTN. Stay with us. Our phone number, 833-288-EWTN for Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes of the Fathers of Mercy. Back to it right now. Here is Richard in North Carolina listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Hey, Richard, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, guys. Great call. Hey, I want to say one thing before I tell you my scapular story. Doesn't St. Paul say, in I think it's Corinthians, that if you receive unworthily, you put a condemnation on yourself? Doesn't he say that or something similar?
Yes, in regards to receiving the Eucharist. Is that what you're referring to?
Yes.
Yes, that is correct.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So there is such a thing as a sacrilegious communion, sure.
Oh, yeah. What's your story, Richard?
Hey, my story is I've been wearing a scapular for about 35 years plus. Some friends of mine in Springfield, Mass, they were Capuchin Franciscans, and I joined. And the day I joined, I was just bombarded. I mean, it was so freaky. It was scary. The devil just hit my head, and he was calling Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Mary, everything you could possibly think of. I mean, it scared me. To the point that I went to confession. Well, I told my priest friend, but I went to confession, and after that it stopped. But that was eerie.
Wow.
And in my younger life, I mean, I'm pushing 70 right now, but earlier I've had it 35 years, and people used to ask me, what is it, but they've seen it on me for so long, they stopped asking, they know what it is. So I just, my little scapular story. And
wonderful.
I am devoted to the rosary. I don't think I've missed a rosary in 40 years. So.
Beautiful.
Beautiful, Richard. Thank you so much for your witness call. We greatly appreciate it.
Yep. Appreciate that. That opens up a line for you now, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Here is Lorraine now in Billings, Montana, listening on Christ the Redeemer Radio. Hey, Lorraine, what's on your mind today?
Yes, Father Wade, it's good to talk with you. I just wanted to share my experience with the brown scapular. My nephew got me to wear it about a year ago, and for many years I was kind of bothered by demonic spirits when I would be sleeping. Usually in the early morning hours before I would be totally awake, I could just feel this sense, and even a touch on my bed, and it would just seize me, and it would be very hard to shake that. And so then I told my nephew about it, and he said, well, wear the brown scapular. Our Lady will protect you. And then I started wearing it, and I read the book, The 33 Days to Glory.
Oh, yeah.
And I tell you, Father Wade, I have not been bothered by that since. And it's such a relief. It's
wonderful.
Such a relief.
Beautiful, beautiful, Lorraine. Thank you so much. Yeah, the book that you mentioned is by Father Michael Gately, and it's a modern take, if you will, but in a very good, solid way, in regards to St. Louis Marie de Montfort's total consecration to the Blessed Virgin. And to couple that devotion with the brown scapular devotion is a beautiful, beautiful thing. Our Blessed Mother is the Mother of God, the Theotokos, has one goal, to lead us to her Son. And her Son, of course, leads us to the Father in the Holy Spirit. And again, St. Therese, abandoning the Mother is but one step away from abandoning the Son. And you are sure not abandoning the Mother, and thus nor the Son, Lorraine, by the witness you just gave. Thank you so much for your call from Billings. I'm going to be in Billings this fall. I wish I could remember for what. I don't have my schedule in front of me, but if I'm not mistaken, it's for a men's conference, if I'm not mistaken.
Very good.
So I look forward to that. That's one of the six states, Tom, Montana, that I have yet to preach in.
No kidding.
In my 19 years of priesthood, preaching for the Father's mercy. So come this fall, I can go down to five states that I haven't yet preached.
Cross that
in, so.
Off your list. All right. Lorraine, thank you so much for your call. I found the book 33 Days to Morning Glory very accessible.
Yeah,
it's
amen.
Very easy to follow,
yeah.
Especially for a dodo like me. Anyway, it is Open Line Tuesday here on EWTN. Let's go to Judy now in Ohio, listening on Sacred Heart Radio. She's a first-time caller. Hey, Judy, what's on your mind today?
Hi, Father Wade. Really enjoyed your sermon this morning on EWTN Mass. My question is I'm not enrolled in the brown scapular. Would it be okay to wear it in your pocket? Keep it in your pocket?
Well, you'd be welcome to, but remember, the benefits aren't there as part of the confraternity tied to the brown scapular. So you could do it in a pious way, what you just described, but why not take full benefit in full measure of the graces that are offered through the confraternity. So to be eligible for the scapular promises, one must be enrolled in the Brown Scapular Confraternity. Now, what is that? Well, this is a simple ceremony which can be performed by any priest, and the members of the confraternity have the added benefit of sharing in all the spiritual benefits of the Carmelite order. Now, according to a statement made by the Carmelite Fathers at the National Scapular Center, which you can look up online, every priest, not just a Carmelite priest, but every priest now has the right to invest the faithful in the Brown Scapular and to substitute the rosary in lieu of the so-called Little Office of the Blessed Virgin, which would have to be prayed daily to also gain the benefits of the scapular promise. But now that the rosary can substitute that. And also, the scapular must be 100% wool unless one has a real, true allergic reaction to wool. It has to be without plastic casing over the wool and should not be pinned or affixed to clothing, but actually worn on the person, worn on the body per se. It is worn over the head, under one's clothes, thus over the shoulders, with one square of wool hanging on the front of the person over their chest and the other on their upper back. So that's the basic crux of it right there. Any priest can enroll. It takes just a few minutes to have those prayers of enrollment prayed over you. In fact, I'm one of the Fathers of Mercy, Tom, that offers a retreat every year at the Sister Servants. Oh. And on Sunday morning when the retreat ends, the Friday through Sunday retreat ends, just before their 11 a.m. Mass, I believe, we have a Brown Scapular enrollment offered to all the retreat attendees. Oh, wow. Those who have never been enrolled, they can be enrolled. And I do the enrollment there for the retreatants who attended that particular weekend retreat, and I'll be there again this October. It all takes maybe 7 to 8 minutes to do the enrollment. And then the individual placing of the individual scapular over each individual person, depending on how many persons there are. It's a very beautiful ceremony. It can be received offline through the Scapular Center website, and any priest can go ahead and offer that enrollment of the person. So that's what I would recommend, Judy, is that you do that rather than just simply piously wear it in your pocket.
Sure, sure. Jump in, Judy.
Jump in, that's
you
right.
You won't be sorry. Thank you so much for your call. It is Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade here on EWTN. Father, are you familiar with the practice of sewing a medal onto the scapular, like the perhaps a little miraculous medal or a little Benedictine medal? Are you familiar with that?
Yes, I've heard that has been done, but I'm a purist when it comes to the different pious devotions that are fully approved by the church. I like the scapular to be just the scapular.
On its own.
On its own. I think that's the mind of the church, cum ecclesia, with the church that has approved the Brown Scapular devotion. If you want to wear the miraculous medal on a chain also over your neck and shoulders, that's fine too, but keep it separate from the scapular. That's my mindset personally.
Very good. Here's Deborah now in Bismarck, North Dakota, on the Great Real Presence Radio. Deborah, what's on your mind today?
Hello. Yes. I have a question. When you listed the five most popular scapulars, first of all, I wasn't aware that, I mean, I always question if there was more than one, and I'll explain that in a minute why, but I was listened very carefully, and you didn't mention the green scapular. And so my question is, when I received my first Holy Communion back in 1962 as a second grader, I distinctly remember receiving a green one, and it had just the one string around the neck and just the one square in front. Now, I thought it was, if I vaguely remember if it was the Sacred Heart. Am I remembering that right?
I don't know
if you can answer that question. What's a green one?
Yeah, sure. That's a great question. Thank you so much. I didn't mention it in the essence of time of my springboard topic, which I have about 10 minutes to give.
Exactly.
So there's 18 approved scapulars. I listed the five most popular. I stated that according to the church's teaching, these are the most five popular. But you're right. I would say the green one is well known too. That's called the scapular of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, not to be confused with the Immaculate Conception blue scapular. It's a Roman Catholic devotional scapular approved by Pope Pius IX in 1870. It does have the double green squares. It's known especially for conversions and return to the faith of those who had left the faith. It's one of the scapulars that is not descended from a religious order.
Oh, okay.
Where the five that I mentioned did descend from religious orders. Mm. That said, it is approved by Pius IX, and CatholicExchange.com has a nice entry on this green scapular and its history. So if you go to CatholicExchange.com, great website, solid Catholic website, you can read more about it there. So thank you so much for your call. We greatly appreciate that.
Thank you, Deborah. It is Open Line Tuesday with Father Wade Menezes here on EWTN. We'll open up a line in just a moment here at 833-288-EWTN. Let's go to Michael now in Long Island, New York, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Hey, Michael, what's on your mind today?
Hello, gentlemen. I was just calling with a little story about the brown scapular that I thought would be a great encouragement for
great.
Everybody.
Thank you so
funny,
much.
Father Wade, you just mentioned about piously wearing the miraculous medal. That's sort of also related. Oh, I go back. I've been wearing a scapular since college days. That's when I first got into the scapular, wearing the brown scapular. And many years ago, 10, 12 years ago now, I was at visiting my aunt in Australia. And at the Feast of St. Teresa, we went to a Carmelite monastery. And while I was there at this beautiful mass at the Feast of St. Teresa, I met the bishop, the former bishop, who we had a wonderful conversation. He said some really great things to me, and it was just a wonderful conversation. I thought, let me buy a scapular in honor of the Day of the Carmelites, and ask the bishop to bless it for me, which he did. Well, I wore that scapular faithfully for about 12 or 13 years, and it was tattered and raggy and beaten up, and it was probably time to get a new one. Well, about a year and a half ago, our daughter died at 24 years old. And in the process of her death, we really got close to Our Lady. She reached out to us right away, within hours of the death. We began feeling a closeness to Christ and his mother. And she gave us the image of the Pietà, which is really, she's first among all us bereaved parents holding her dead son. Yeah. And what the Lord did with that death and what he'll do with the death of my daughter. Right. But we went to the wake, Father, and there was Amanda looking so beautiful, absolutely stunning. Mm. I mean, she was such a beautiful girl. She had a great faith, a very powerful faith. She was in a sorority that did pro-life, and she saved girls from abortions. She saved people from suicides. We know since her death some things have happened. But anyway, I looked at her wearing the miraculous medal, right, in the casket, and it looked so beautiful. And I thought, right then, I took this scapular off my shoulders that I've been wearing for years and years and years, and we laid it on her.
Oh, beautiful.
So beautiful next to the miraculous medal. Uh-huh. And she was buried in that scapular. And since her death, Father, we've had numerous indications that she, through her earthly suffering, she suffered a terrible mental illness, that she's gone straight to heaven. And we have, and I've had many theologians agree with me that the signs would indicate that. And Our Lady keeps talking to us through the image of the Pietà, that we bought a casket with four Pietas on it. The Pietà is on her gravestone, and it's all about Our Lady. And now she's wearing that scapular with her and that miraculous medal.
Wow! Wow!
Real tie that we have together, and
a powerful story, Father.
Powerful story and a great witness, Michael, to other parents listening right now who might have lost a child or an adolescent or a young adult child. Just a great, great witness. Thank you so much. And you're right. Our Blessed Mother is maternal. She's motherly. She's right there with us when we go through our trials and tribulations, because she was there during her son's trials and tribulations. Thank you so much, Michael.
Michael, we do appreciate it. It is Open Line Tuesday here on EWTN. I want to take just a moment here to tell you about something wonderful that EWTN offers, and that is Church Pop. Have you ever been to the website Church Pop? It is fascinating. Just taking a look at it real quick here. Here's an article called How Catholics Started the Hospital and University Systems in the So-Called Dark Ages. You're not going to hear about this anywhere but a wonderful site like Church Pop. So if you've never seen it, do check it out. It's at churchpop.com. You can also follow it by going to Instagram. All right. It's very cool. Great. And Father, you've got a Come and See weekend coming up, right?
We do. We have three scheduled right now. One this coming weekend, July 20th and 21st, but I believe the enrollment is closed for that one. So three more, August 17th and 18th, September 21st and 22nd, and November 1st and 2nd. Oh, and one more, December 28th and 29th, right after Christmas. So all four of these dates are posted on our Fathers of Mercy website at fathersofmercy.com, or you can contact our vocation director, Father Ken Geraci, at the following email address, vocations at fathersofmercy.com. That's vocation with an S at the end of it, vocations@fathersofmercy.com. And send Father Ken Geraci an email. Tell him that you're interested possibly in attending one of those Come and See weekends. If you're unmarried, ages 18 to 40, male, and discerning a possible religious vocation, a priestly vocation with a active missionary preaching apostolate.
These guys are the real deal. Fathersofmercy.com, fathersofmercy.com. Back to the phones now for Michael in Pittsfield, Mass., listening on Sirius XM 130. Michael, what's on your mind today?
Good afternoon, Father. Had a question about, could a person get a tattoo of the scapular on them?
No, it needs to be 100% wool unless the person has an aversion to it, that is the wool as an allergen. And then in that case, you would wear it as a metal. There's been a concession made by the Carmelite Order for those who are truly allergic to 100% wool. Other than that, it does have to be 100% wool. But a good question, Michael. Thank you so much for that call.
Appreciate your call. Let's go now to Ronald in Millay, Michigan, listening on Ave Maria Radio. Ronald, what's on your mind today?
Hello, Father. My question is a little different subject here. Mm-hmm. During Mass, a lot of churches these days are ringing the bells three times at the moment of consecration. I was told by a priest that the Holy Eucharist is not God the Father and it's not the Holy Spirit. Yeah, he said that was a heresy that was corrected during one of the councils, possibly Trent. So do you know why we ring the bell three times and not just once for each species?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for your call. We really appreciate that from Michigan. First of all, the bells are an option as far as the rubrics go. They do not need to be rung. If they are rung, there is no stipulation as to how they should be rung. The more popular ways of ringing the bells at the two elevations of the precious body and the precious blood after each species words of consecration are said is to either do one ring that's maybe 5 seconds, 5 to 7 seconds mm-hmm. long for each species, or to do three rings for each species, with each of those three rings being maybe, I don't know, 3 seconds long, give or take. But you're not going to find any rubric on this. You're going to simply find a rubric that says the bells may be rung. Huh? As far as the option that can be done for three, was that ever tied to Trinitarian spirituality? I never heard that. I always just assumed, and in conversation with other priests and seminarians when I was a seminarian, it was basically to get the attention of the people, that this was a solemn moment of the Mass and that three rings are better than one.
Yeah.
And it's amazing, like if a baby is crying at that particular moment of the Mass at the consecration, as soon as the bells are rung, the baby stops.
Love it.
And the baby's eyes look towards the sound, the area from where the sound is coming from the front of the church. So it's more just I don't mean to sound flippant here, but an attention grabber that, hey, this is it. This is why we're here. The high point of the second liturgy of the Mass, which is the liturgy of the Eucharist, the first liturgy of the Mass is the liturgy of the Word. The two together constitute the holy sacrifice and banquet of the Mass. But that said, this is the pinnacle, the high point, the apex, the mountaintop, if you will, of the second liturgy of the Mass, the liturgy of the Eucharist, the consecration, and even more so, actual reception yeah. of the Eucharist, where you're commingling the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second person of the Trinity incarnate, with your own body, blood, and soul,
yeah.
but not divinity, because you don't have any divinity. However, we become actual participators in God's own divine life by living what we receive in the Eucharist and through sanctifying grace.
Ronald, thank you so much for your call. That was a great question. Let's go to Bob now in Kansas City, listening on Sirius XM Channel 130. Bob, what's on your mind today?
Hi, guys.
Howdy.
Two-part question. The Bible was written, put together years ago based on divinity of the readings, I believe, both Old Testament and New, or God's Word. Why has there not been other people, you refer to saints' readings and things like that, since, to add new, nothing else has been written that's divine?
Yeah, the sacred scripture is in a category of all of its own. It's inspired writing by God himself, given to the sacred human author who wrote it. Where the writings of the lives of the saints, the writings of the saints, are writings of their mystical experiences, their wisdom, etc. But it's not the word of God. It's the word of a saint, where scripture is the word of God. Bob, one of the 16 documents of the Second Vatican Council was titled Dei Verbum, literally in Latin, Word of God. And it's about this very subject. And interestingly enough, it's one of the shorter of the 16 documents of Vatican II. I mean, it gets right to the point how the Old Testament and New Testament and the canon of Scripture came about, and how this is the inspired Word of God, of which the human author received from God in an inspired manner to write. But the writings of the saints are word of men and women, not of God. God could inspire them about their mystical experience. God could inspire them about writing some treatise about a doctrine of the faith, but it's not the word of God. It's still the word of man in that regard. And Dei Verbum, again, one of the 16 documents of Vatican II, is just a great, great document to decipher this reality, this truth of the faith.
Bob, thank you so much for your call. Here now is Vicki, in Duluth, Minnesota, listening on Real Presence Radio. Hey, Vicki, what's on your mind today?
Well, I just want to warn people. I know people, my friends who are listening, will know what I'm talking about. But be careful if you order scapulas or anything like that online. Really know your source. I ordered something online, and I got it, and it was beautiful. I mean, it was wonderful. And then I looked at the business card, and the business card said Wicked Something. And I thought, well, that's odd that it would be, you know, .com. And I thought, that's kind of weird. And then I noticed that there was a big thing about we sell relics, we sell this, we sell that. And so I went to confession, and I went to I deliberately chose to go to the exorcist that we have here.
Uh-huh.
And I said, what is your opinion of this? And he said, get rid of it.
Yeah.
And told me how to get rid of it. He said that people are online who are selling things for demonic reasons.
I think it's it's good advice. I think it's good advice to know your source, right, Father?
That's right. That's exactly right. Yeah. You know, there was a case here recently that I read about of miraculous metals having a little image of the Masonic symbol behind the image of Our Blessed Mother.
Really?
And so you have to be careful. You're making a great point. Thank you so much for bringing this up. You want to know your sources. Order from, if can I say it, Tom, EWTN
sure.
Religious Catalog.
There you go.
You know, EWTN.com Religious Catalog. You want to order from sources that you know are bona fide, good, solid Catholic sources, right in line with the chair of Peter, swerving neither left nor right to the chair, and surely not involved with any type of New Age or occultic activity.
Absolutely. Let's go now to Deacon Dennis in San Antonio, listening on Guadalupe Radio. Hey, Deacon Dennis, how are you today?
I am blessed.
Very good. What's on your mind today?
Well, I've got a two-part question for Father Wade. The first is, as a permanent deacon, am I allowed to do the brown scapular and blessing?
That's a great question. That's a great question, Deacon Dennis. You know, I've been asked that question before, and I did some extensive research on it. The Carmelites are clear that it does have to be the priest, a priest, who does the confraternity enrollment. So that's a fantastic question. Thank you. What's your second question there, Deacon?
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know that. Okay.
Let me clarify. You're asking about blessing the scapulars. I'm referring to enrollment of a person in the brown scapular. Mm. There's a difference. Now, interestingly enough, the brown scapular is the only sacramental of the church that does not have to be blessed. Why? It takes its sacramental effect by virtue of its wearer having been enrolled in the confraternity. Now, that said, you can surely have a deacon or priest bless the brown scapular.
Okay.
And just as deacons can bless other sacramentals, you can bless a brown scapular. In fact, each year when I'm at the Sister Servants and we do the Sunday enrollment before the 11 a.m. Mass to close the retreat, I bless those brown scapulars on a beautiful tray they have there with the scapulars laid out with holy water. Mm. And so I bless them, but they don't have to be blessed. But we bless them because you can bless them. But it's just interesting that the it takes its sacramental effect as a sacramental precisely by virtue of the person having been enrolled in it. Quickly, what's your second question? We have about a half a minute left, Deacon.
Just real quick, sometimes I have some parishioners that prefer some of the blessings from the traditional rite before 1962. Am I allowed to do any of those blessings, holy water, rosaries?
I would have to see the pre-notes, what's called the pre-notunda of those particular rituals, to see if they require only a priest to say the old formulary. That's what I would want to look at.
Deacon Dennis, thank you so much for your call. We could not get to Betty in San Antonio, John in New Jersey, Richard, John, Pam. Couldn't get to any of those folks.
What a great day for callers.
Well, it's a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Please call us on a future show. Let us know that we kind of left you waiting at the altar there. We will put you up at the head of the line. Father, could we have your blessing, please?
Certainly, Tom. May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon all of our Open Line Tuesday listeners and remain with you all this day and always. St. Joseph, terror of demons.
Pray for us. Father Wade, thank you so much for joining us today. Always a pleasure to have you right here in studio.
Thank you, Tom.
Keep it here on EWTN 24 hours a day. Solid Catholic content coming at you all day and all night. On behalf of our great team behind the glass, I'm Tom Price. We will see you next time. Have a great one, and God bless.